superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
I'm sure you heard it earlier this year, Drew, and I'll place it in front of you, as I was always keen to know what you thought about the fact that you can't throw down the field anymore, apparently.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Who are the ones making those statements, and do they know anything about football?
Today's guests... Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, ESPN SportsCenter host Scott Van Pelt, plus actor David Cross. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host. Pleased to be here in our Los Angeles studios right in the middle of the week here in 2020, in the middle of the month of November in 2020. And I'm pleased to be here, and I hope everybody is happy and healthy wherever you are found. We've got Lamar Jackson on this show. He'll be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. And the Ravens taking on the New England Patriots right there on the Week 10 marquee. It's Week 10.
Wow.
Week 10.
Wow.
I know, Chris Brockman.
Wow.
Week 10.
Hey, man, I'm glad we've made it this far.
I know that,
we haven't
right?
lost an entire week. You know, just the game two here and there has been moved, but onward and upward.
I know, onward and upward. And it's the time of year as well. And we just hope everyone is happy and healthy and safe out there as in our great country that is going through a lot right now. 200,000 individuals diagnosed with COVID-19 yesterday. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and we hope everybody out there is wearing a mask and being safe and practicing social distancing. Missouri just canceled a football game right in the SEC, correct?
Against Georgia.
Georgia, Missouri just got canceled. We know LSU and Alabama not going on this week. We're going to keep an eye on the COVID-19 lists across the National Football League. Ben Roethlisberger sitting on it. Baker Mayfield supposedly coming off of it for the Browns. At any rate, that's what's going on in our world right here. Kick things off. Lamar Jackson against the Patriots last year was easily the Ravens' best performance. Absolutely destroyed New England. And, you know, when as we're getting set for Lamar to join us here, the narrative about him... And you have been one of the many who pound this drum quite a bit, Chris, is that when the chips are down, a one-and-done game in January, yep. We've seen him one-and-done now twice.
Right.
First as a rookie, second time as the presumptive MVP. He had not been named yet, but we assumed when he took the field he was going to be MVP of the 2019 NFL season,
yep.
In which the Ravens took a one seed into the playoffs the first time. So first year not expected, second year definitely expected. And so first year, it's understandable when you get one and done, even though you're in your home building in the Los Angeles Chargers, or I think they were the San Diego Chargers in their final year, maybe. I don't know. I can't keep track anymore. I think they were the L.A. Chargers coming out and beating the Ravens.
After they had gotten beaten by the Ravens
right.
2 weeks prior.
Right. So I'll ask them of the narrative of, hey, essentially – many people are saying, although I'm not one of them, that you can't win the big one. And you can point to that game against the Patriots because last year New England came in undefeated. And New England went right down the tubes right after that. That was their high water mark going into that game last
Patriots
year.
Patriots were 8-0, right, coming into
they
that
game?
They
were undefeated. And the Ravens handed New England their first loss. And the Ravens were playing so well with Lamar Jackson at the time, the narrative was... It's still New England and Brady's world.
Right.
And it's time for the Ravens to knock them off and decide that we're passing the torch. And who knew that by the end of the year, the torch would be passed to Kansas City, not Baltimore. So, and Baltimore never got to play Kansas City because the Titans took care of them after taking care of New England. And the Titans kick things off with the Colts tomorrow night in week number 10. That's a big game right there.
That's a sneaky good game.
You know what? I always, you know, on Friday I'll give you three games few people are talking about. This won't be one of them. But right now it kind of is because you're looking at the Sunday night game between New England and Baltimore. And I know New England looked the way that they did against the Jets, and that's not particularly significant. And the Rams are taking on Seattle, so we'll see how Seattle handles that. But to me, I can't wait to see Buffalo at Arizona. Our buddy Charles Davis and Ian Eagle have the call on that on
sweet.
CBS.
And it's just, awesome.
I'm going to be buckled into that one, and that'll be so much fun. So much fun. Miami taking on the Chargers. It'll be Tua versus Herbert. There's a lot on the nice Week 10 menu. One part of the Week 10 menu that has been removed from removed a la carte, if you will. Christian McCaffrey will not be going for Carolina against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that's a significant blow for Carolina because McCaffrey against Tampa in week two was having a day when he gets into the end zone and turned his ankle against Tampa. And then we hadn't seen him until last week, and he had a day against Kansas City. And then his day ended with a shoulder injury. And now he's seeking a second opinion. That is not a good piece of news. When you seek a second opinion,
nope,
that means one of two things. One, you've just been told something you don't want to hear, and hopefully the second opinion will go well. Sort of, I guess, using the phrase, trying to find illegal votes and demanding a recount. Or you've been told something that you just need to check out with the abundance of caution, which sounds like that might have to be one of our fantasy team names.
Abundance of caution. We've gotten a few recently.
And neither one really is good. You'd prefer it to be out of the abundance of caution, but if it's abundance of caution, we wouldn't already be calling it week to week. So the Judah Maccabee of fantasy running back.
Wait, did you get him?
I picked Mike Davis back up.
Hey, all right.
He's on the aroma of the comeback once again.
Can't quit him.
Mike Davis. I thought, okay, McCaffrey's back. What do I need him for? And now he's back. As the oil burned bright for six fantasy weeks for Mike Davis before Hanukkah ended. And now we're back. I don't know. It's disrespectful. I'm very cutthroat when it comes to that stuff.
A Festivus for the rest of us!
I hope Mike isn't taking it, you know,
he's now the Fantasy Festivus.
Yeah. Festivus miracle!
Well, losing Kittle and losing Saquon, that's the airing of grievances. I just need more feats of fantasy strength here to come back, and hopefully Mike Davis will provide it. Carolina, man. That's a big one for Tampa. How does Tampa rebound? We had Drew Brees on yesterday. New Orleans now comes off of that boat racing against Tampa to take on San Francisco. What a game that was last year. If you remember, it finished 90-85, and George Kittle ran 195 yards and stiff-armed 95 people on the way to the end zone, and that was unbelievable. That was an unbelievable game last year, and now this time around we'll see who's active for San Francisco. And I did see a tweet this morning from Richard Sherman, a photograph of himself, and I think it said getting closer.
Okay.
So there's that. You've got Philadelphia coming off their bye week against the Giants. And today I saw on the way in here this morning, no fewer than three times, the Philadelphia and I guess and or New York media took a bite at the Is Carson Wentz the Guy Apple.
Oh, geez.
With Doug Peterson. Coming off a bye. And he's got to be sitting here thinking, I want a bye week. You know, I know. Do you see the rest of that division? Do you see
right.
what's going on in the rest of the division? I got my running back, Miles Sanders, coming back. I got my offensive line healthier. I'm assuming we're going to see Alshon Jeffrey sometime before the the dawn of time reappears. And Carson Wentz has either got three different bites at the apple, and his response is Carson's our guy, he's going to be our guy, et cetera, so on and so forth.
Well, yeah, and they got 100 million reasons that he's their guy.
So what's the poll question that you have over there as we're getting ready for Lamar Jackson, and we've got some other great guests.
Okay, so we have two options.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking about who's been the biggest fantasy surprise in the NFL.
Who do you got for choices
okay,
there?
Okay, so here's who we came out. Hasn't been locked in, open to other suggestions. James Robinson for Jacksonville, he's been awesome. Ryan Tannehill has been amazing at quarterback this year for Tennessee. Mike Davis, your guy. What'd you call him?
The Judah McAbee of fantasy.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. But
Judah McAbee was very famous in the story of Hanukkah.
Okay. And Travis Fulgham for Philadelphia. He's emerged as their number one receiver with all the injuries, and he's done quite well. Anyone else jump out? Those are kind of the four.
Josh Allen's not a bad one.
Josh Allen.
You know, I mean,
instead of Ryan Tannehill, battling off his point totals, since he took over, and they were impressive the last month.
Trust me, as I was hoping that the oil would continue to burn bright. Maybe the 844-204 Rich, if we're missing anybody or tweet it out or something like that, we might be missing it. But if you want to throw that out there, that's just fine. Oh, now I'm seeing, by the way, why Peterson was asked no fewer than three times about Carson Wentz. Favre went on First Take.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
And was wondering if maybe the Eagles should have chosen Foles as their guy moving forward instead of Wentz. You know who's a sneaky hot taker is Brett Favre. A sneaky hot taker.
Yeah, he is. And then the other poll I had, it's Leonardo DiCaprio's birthday today.
Well, we've got Kyle Brandt coming up later on
this is right up his alley. Kyle Brandt poll. So which Leo movie character would you most want to have a beer with?
Okay. By the way, Leo's 47 years old.
That guy's been in our life for
forever. He's 47 years old. He's pushing 50, man.
Looks great.
I don't know.
Rick Dalton from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
What about Jay Gatsby, The Great Gatsby? Jordan Belfort, Billy Costigan from The Departed. Any other ones out there? We had a list going earlier. Cobb from Inception. Frank Abagnale.
Well, you got to go with Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Yeah, that's Jordan Belfort.
No, I know that.
Amsterdam Valen, the Gangs of New York guy, or Jack Dawson.
Well,
R.I.P.
Would Gatsby have a beer?
Great question.
You know what I mean?
The famous GIF is him with a martini, right?
Of course. I tweet that out or text that all the time to friends.
Does it have to be a beer? Can it just be a drink then?
We could say drink.
Yeah, because I don't see Gatsby using a cozy,
We'll change it to drink.
Howard Hughes?
When he's not locked up in his room.
Oh, my gosh. Howard Hughes, I don't think, would shotgun a beer, but he definitely would have the nails to open one up.
Hey, now.
But put the one with fantasy football up.
All right,
so you feel that Josh Allen's more of a surprise than Ryan Tannehill with the way he's been performing fantasy-wise?
No
not
doubt about
real
it.
Football.
No doubt about it.
Really?
Absolutely. So if Ryan Tannehill did all last year, what do you everyone think that was a mirage?
Yes, Rich, because it hadn't happened until look how long Ryan Tannehill was in the NFL.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm just saying this because in my fantasy league, in my poker league, I attempted to trade Josh Allen about five different times as soon as Saquon got hurt. Yeah. Saquon was my first overall pick, second overall after McCaffrey. And then I try to trade Josh Allen. And again, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds because this is like poker. We're talking about bad beats with fantasy.
Right.
Everybody's got problems. Nobody's got anything other than just their own world, and they don't care about anybody else's.
Thing is, I don't understand
but
poker.
I tried to trade Josh Allen multiple times and got back pound sand. You're crazy because this kid's never done anything. And I'm like, He's never done anything. He scores like he's a 35, 40-point machine every week.
Yeah, he's third in the NFL in passing yards.
Exactly.
He has 19 touchdowns, and same as Tannehill.
And I didn't start him last week. I benched him because I've got Kyler Murray.
There's a guy in my league.
I'm water skiing behind these quarterback yachts, and I cannot flip one of them to fill my – because these guys are all like, who's Josh Allen?
I got a guy in my league who has
Josh Allen on there.
Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen. Ooh. He's only started Aaron Rodgers one time all year. Josh Allen's been killing it.
I was trying to make an argument. Rodgers has kind of been a fantasy surprise. Like, think about where he went in most drafts.
I agree.
In my draft, he went in the 11th round.
No doubt.
I think a lot of people, he was way down.
I'm sure people were taking Matt Ryan and Stafford before him. Because, again, the narrative going into the season that he has busted up, okay, was that who's he got to throw to? That they totally let him down in the draft. And, you know, that draft narrative might be cutting both ways. One, we're putting the chip further more on his shoulder because they chose his successor now instead of getting that wide receiver. And also, you know, hey, who are you going to throw to? Well, here's who I'll throw to. I'll throw to Valdez-Scantling. Don Bowie says Justin Herbert should be on there, too.
Yeah, he was one.
But are people starting Justin Herbert?
I don't know how they're not right now. He's a 300-yard machine right now. Doesn't he have four games in a row like that?
We could take off Mike Davis.
I think let's do that.
Take off Mike Davis?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do that. Sorry, sir.
Hey, that's your man, you know.
I know.
You and him are going to have words.
Let's do that.
Light a candle for Mike Davis?
I'd light a candle for Mike Davis. Pour one out for Mike Davis, as I did last week, and now I've put him back on my team.
No hard feelings.
Cracking open that beer. And then one thing, I guess we'll take a break in about a minute here, and then we'll make sure we're on time for Lamar Jackson. Foles instead of Wentz.
That's super hot.
Like I don't know. I don't even know if I would reach for the hot take plank and say that myself. But part of the reason why it gets credence is one, it's Favre, and two, Favre and Peterson are like, you know, tight.
Right. He was the
so could any of this possibly be something that Favre picked up in a conversation? I mean, Philadelphia's going to run with that. Now I understand why they ask him Doug Peterson three different times coming off the bye week. Is Carson Wentz the guy for you? But, I mean, seeing the way that Foles is looking in the BU offense right now is awful. He looks terrible right now. Terrible. As the Bears are pulling teeth, and we're going to see them on Monday Night Football against Minnesota, which is going to be running Dalvin Cook down their throats, and I know that they can try and take him out with that great defense. But it could be a very long Monday night if Dalvin Cook starts shredding them like he's shredding everybody else, or at least he's three-quarters shredding the Bears the way he's one full shredding everybody else, and then they fall down by 14, 17, 21 points again. I mean, this is crazy how things change in the NFL, really from week to week and from month to month. I mean, you know, the fact that the narrative could possibly be already arriving with the Bears, and it could scream even louder at the end of this week that we're about to start tomorrow night with the Colts and the Titans, is that the Bears fans are just lamenting the fact that Trubisky's hurt and isn't an option to use right now. Talk about craziness, but that's entirely possible. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. We're off and running. We are five wide. Look at this.
Ooh, baby.
Lamar Jackson's about to join us, but after hour number two, it's Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football, and our buddy Nate Boyer wrote an incredible piece here on Veterans Day for the Players Tribune. And I, you know, he sent it to me, and he's like, give this a read. Give it a read. I did. I'm like, why don't you call in and give voice to it? The very funny David Cross is going to be joining us in hour number three. He's in a serious movie, The Dark Divide. And look who's joining us from Augusta National, Scott Van Pelt. It is Masters Week. We're off and rolling on this Wednesday of the Rich Eisen Show. Lamar, when we come back.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
And Lamar Jackson will be joining us when the radio audience returns. And Lamar Jackson will be joining us when we turn on Sunday Night Football. on NBC. Patriots coming off of that 13-point fourth quarter comeback on the New York Jets. And the Ravens coming off of Lamar Jackson's first ever professional football win when trailing at halftime.
Wow. Both of those statements are insane.
They are. Poll question, which is more insane? Go to at Rich Eisen Show and vote. All right, that's not a poll question, but they're all facts. I'm telling
all facts.
You, week nine was the proverbial given Sunday. Any given Sunday?
Yeah.
That was the given Sunday. We're not even talking about all the crazy results that we saw. Bills boat racing Seattle, so on and so forth. So we're just mere seconds away from Lamar Jackson joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We're all one big happy simulcast family. We've got Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football joining us in the next hour, and the same with the great Nate Boyer, the longtime veteran. And we just want to send all of our best to everybody out there who has served and is serving right now to provide us the blanket of protection we need. Happy Veterans Day to all the men and women out there in our armed forces. So Scott Van Pelt will be joining us from also later on from Augusta National. We're all set for play tomorrow to begin amongst the colored
very,
leagues.
Very early.
I cannot wait. And David Cross, who I love, man. I don't think he's ever been on this show. I just remember him from Mr. Show with Bob and David back in the day. Ben Stiller Show way, way long ago, obviously, Arrested Development as well. He played Tobias Funke. It's going to be great when he joins us later on in the show. But right now, Chris is the man of the hour on the phone.
Yes, sir.
As promised, he is the reigning MVP of the National Football League, getting set for Sunday Night Football against the New England Patriots on NBC, a marquee jewel of an event in week number 10 of an NFL season. He is Lamar Jackson. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, Mr. Rich?
I am better for talking to you. I'm better for talking to you.
I appreciate that.
How would you rate your season to date, Lamar?
I don't know, you know, because we had our ups. You know, at first week, and then we just had our downs. Usually, you know, we're a high-level offense. But it's been all right. You know, it's not what we want to be, but, you know, we started winning, so it's all right, I guess.
It just, from the eye test, it looks like things aren't coming as easy for you this year. Is that a safe way to look at it, that things aren't?
I feel, you know, it's a lot of with schemes. You know, we're going against defenses. They calling out our plays, stuff like that. Like, they know what we're doing, so a lot of that, you know, sometimes, you know, stuff won't go our way if they beat us to the punch.
So you're hearing on the other side of the line of scrimmage the defense calling out your plays?
That's what they definitely do, like runs, stuff like that, or watch out for this, watch out for that. Sometimes that's what's going on.
So how do you combat that, Lamar?
So I guess we're going to halftime and let coach, you know, let us know what he sees upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and we just go from there.
And so this time around, you know, so much has been made about the fact that you've been ahead quite a bit and coming from behind has been something that's been difficult for you. And then this is the first time that you were able to come back from a halftime deficit. Does that mean anything to you at all, Lamar, or is it just the way the ball's been bouncing?
I guess that's the way the ball's been bouncing. You know, I try to win regardless. I don't care if we're down or up. You know, I'm still trying to put points on the board. And sometimes it just didn't go our way. But, you know, this past Sunday it did.
Are you running less than last year at this point in time? Or what would you say the difference so far?
I don't know. I just say the play calling, really. No, I wouldn't say I'm running less or running more. We're trying to do whatever it takes to win.
Lamar Jackson here on the Rich Eisen Show. What challenge does the Patriots present to you, Lamar?
You know, that's a sticky defense, you know. They like to play man. Those guys are very, you know, they come, they attack the ball, all 11 at the ball. A physical defense, very physical defense. And like I said, you know, it's a lot of cover zero, a lot of man with the Patriots.
And do you watch any film from last year? I know last year was last year.
Yeah, for sure. I just started watching it yesterday.
No kidding.
Last year's game.
Okay, so last year's game, because man, was everything clicking in last year's game. I mean, that was one of the best games the Ravens have played in a very long time. So what do you take out of that you can bring into this game, Lamar?
I'm just focused. You know, I watching the film, you know, we had a lot of focus. Guys knew our guys was on point. You know, the whole team, it just wasn't like the offense. You just like picking the poise of what side was doing the best. You know, the defense played great. Offense, special teams, you know, you just got to be that same type of game. Everyone focused, high energy. I feel we'll be fine.
What is it going to mean for you? I'm just going through my head here. I don't know if you played Carolina yet, that Cam's the other quarterback in this game, Lamar.
You know, I don't have to face Cam, so I really don't worry about it.
No, I just talk about, you growing up. I don't know if you fashioned your game against him or, you know, growing up, obviously, in the state of Florida.
I'm definitely a fan of Cam. You know, it's going to be nice. I met Cam plenty of times. I done seen him plenty of times, but it's definitely going to be dope going against him. My first time, starting against him because my rookie season we played against him, and he went off. You know, he went off. I don't think he had a completion first half.
That's what I kind of figured because, I mean, you know, and it's kind of cool for you, again, I'm assuming, you know, growing up and watching Cam do his thing in Auburn and then watching him do his thing and him being a Heisman Trophy winner. You're a Heisman Trophy winner, and now you're going to be on the same field in front of the whole country, and you're both part of the same fraternity of being MVPs in the NFL and what that actually would mean to you. You know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't think about it, but yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's my job to put things in perspective, Lamar. That's my job, you know?
I'm trying to focus on the game and you're telling me about what we accomplished.
I don't want to take your eye off the ball. You know I'm a
I got you.
You know I have your back, Lamar,
as best I possibly can.
So we've got Lamar Jackson on the Rich Eisen Show. Walk me through Dez and where he is, do you think, in you know, he was active last week, but where you think he could be in terms of being more active as a target in this offense right now?
I feel he'll fit right in, you know, in our offense. You know, physical hands, you know, a physical route runner, nice route runner as well. You know, he's kind of a vocal leader. To us, you know, we grew up watching him as well. And he came right in and just fit right in with the system and the guys. So it's going to be pretty cool. Hopefully he gets some, you know, some passes towards him this game.
When you say vocal leader, what do you mean?
You know, just telling us, like, certain little things he's seen, he noticed, you know, since he's been here, like what he see on the field, stuff like that.
So he's already been a guy that no matter the amount of time he's been there that you guys look up to and are hearing from already?
For sure. He's a number positive.
All right.
In our ears.
All right. Terrific. And what's going on with Hollywood Brown? He put out that tweet, deleted it. Everything cool with you and him?
Oh, yeah. Everything's cool. You know, he's just like plays haven't been called for him, you know, stuff like that. So, he's a dynamic player in our offense, and he wants the ball. And I feel him, you know. Coach got to call his number so we can give him the ball because we need to get a playmaker the ball. He's one of our key playmakers. That's why we got him.
And obviously you are too. Would you want to run more?
No, I definitely like to pass more.
Right.
Definitely like to pass more.
Okay, so you prefer to just be back there and pick teams apart with your arm.
And let my guys do their job. You know, let Gus and Mark and JK and Justice run the ball, not me. Only if I have to, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm dropping back, stuff not open downfield. Then I do what's best for the team. Other than that, like, direct runs or cute, like, little RPO, stuff like that, nah.
Well, I had Drew Brees on yesterday, Lamar, and I asked him to address the narrative that is said about him in the NFL media and the NFL fan base, and that was, you know, earlier this year that he can't throw it down the field. He's age 41, or he can't throw it because he won't. You know, I had to give him that opportunity. So I want to give you the opportunity to respond to the narrative of you that when it's a playoff game or a game against a team that is above you in the standings or is on par with you in terms of being a Super Bowl contending team, that you have your troubles in that game. What do you say to that?
I'm trying to win the game. You know, probably I do a little too much, you know, trying to win the game. But, I don't think I, you know, perform least against big team because last year, you know, we played against Patriots. We beat the Patriots, undefeated Patriots. We beat the Texans. We beat the Rams. We beat the undefeated 49ers, stuff like that. Like, these big games, you know, people was keyed in on, and I don't know where this stuff coming from. You know, playoffs, I was a rookie. You know, people didn't even think we was making it to the playoffs. We ended up going. Then last year, you know, guys were banged up. Our key guys banged up in the game, so it's a lot more pressure on us, so we're trying to do whatever we can, you know, take the pressure off those guys, and we just didn't pull it off. That's all to it, you know. regroup and, you know, focus on this shit now.
How much do you pressure? How much pressure do you put on yourself, and maybe in a self scout situation for something like that? Then, Lamar.
I wouldn't put a lot of pressure on myself. You know, just trying to do too much. I'll say, like, sometimes just trying to probably try to force something that shouldn't do, you know, stuff like that. Just trying to do too much sometimes.
All right. So your goal for the rest of this year, because, you know, I did pick you guys to win the AFC championship. I just, you know, there is an eye in Rich and Eisen. I just needed to get a temperature check here for Lamar halfway through. Your goals for this year are exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh! And is Ingram okay? Can you just give me a quick check on him before I let
Mark
you go?
Ingram, we were just in walkthrough with us. He was looking fine to me.
Okay, so he's
great to me.
Okay, so do you think we might see him Sunday night?
Yeah, hopefully. Okay. You know, it's on coach. It's not on me.
No, I understand that. I totally get that. And then in terms of being on the cover of Madden, what is that? How have you been enjoying that? Are you hearing a lot about that, Lamar?
I love it. You know, that's a childhood dream. It came true. Just got to keep winning now.
You don't have any problem with your ratings, right? You're fine with that?
I'm definitely. I don't like that.
When you play Madden, who do you play? Do you play Lamar Jackson?
I play with the Ravens. I play with myself, Lamar Jackson.
You do?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh! All right, never want. Like, so if I had to give you a choice, you have to remove yourself from it. Who would you play in Madden, Lamar?
If I had to remove myself from
the
Ravens,
you are not allowed to play you as yourself. You cannot do that. Which quarterback would you choose to play in that?
It got to be Russell or Pat. Those are the only two.
Okay.
Or Deshaun. I like dual threat quarterbacks.
Okay, I'm sure you do. What about fellow Heisman winner Kyler Murray? What about that idea?
Kyler, nice one too. Definitely, Kyler.
Just want to make sure everything's fine in the Heisman house.
Definitely explosive.
Okay.
Definitely explosive.
And last one for you. What advice would you give to a Lamar Jackson now that he's two games in, so much hype?
Just keep whatever he's been doing, keep doing it. You know, he came in sharp. He ran the ball well, threw the ball excellent. Just keep doing that. Don't think too much. Just be yourself.
Have you ever been in contact with him about at all, Lamar, or no?
College. Okay. When he was up for the Heisman.
Okay.
That's about it, probably.
Did you vote for him for the Heisman?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. All right. This is great. Lamar, I always enjoy our chats. I really
yes,
do.
Sir.
I enjoyed seeing you at the Super Bowl last year. As you know,
yes, sir.
As you know, my kids wear their Sky Lamar shirts all over the place. They just absolutely, you know, are fans of yours, and you keep doing what you're doing. We'll be sitting there watching Sunday night.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks again. You got it. That's Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP, your Baltimore Ravens starter right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did I hear him say that the opponents are calling out their plays?
You did hear that. That seems problematic.
Yeah. Because they're, you know, I guess run or pass might be what he's saying. Because their runs are very exotic, right? I mean,
right. Well, if they're pointing to a spot, the defense knows, like, hey, run left right here.
Right. That's another one of my favorite phrases in the NFL over the last couple of years. It's been used mostly for the Titans. Exotic smash mouth. Right?
Yeah.
They opened up for Smash Mouth, right?
I was
right?
just going to say that was Smash Mouth's opening band for
about
5 years.
Was exotic Smash Mouth, right?
It was just a different group, exotic. Exotic.
Hey, coach, they're calling our plays out. That's kind of a problem.
Yep.
And I did...
They know it's coming. They can't really stop it, though.
I did see this shortly, just a couple moments ago. John Harbaugh was asked about the status of Mark Ingram saying... Is it possible that he's available and that he can go? And he said yes and yes. Nice. So
that's good news.
Ingram will be back. Dobbins, Gus Edwards.
And one more.
All 19 of their tight ends.
Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
You know,
here we go.
Unless you're a division rival, which I can understand. Other than that, man, how could you not like Lamar Jackson?
I love him.
You know, he takes...
He takes blame. He doesn't try to pass it off on a teammate.
You know what? It's
very accountable.
Let's take it in full. Okay. Guy was not even supposed to be a Heisman Trophy quality guy because he wasn't the first even choice for them to be quarterback. I'm just trying to go all the way back to where it started, where he took over and he's more of a runner than a thrower, right?
That's the way it was.
That's
where
he was born, basically, into Louisville and college football lore. He takes everything by storm. He was the king of Thursday night football in college, right? Took that title from Teddy Bridgewater, I think.
Nice.
Right? Because Louisville played all their games on Thursday nights, pretty much.
Always.
Lamar, and now he's the Heisman Trophy winner. And then he goes to the combine, and he won't run.
Yep.
And he won't work out because he is not going to be doing wide receiver drills.
Right.
Very adamant.
I'll just show up. I'll do my Wonderlic. I'm not even running there. Screw it. I'm not even going to do this.
He still hasn't run a 40. We don't even know what his time is.
And it was all about, also, if you wanted to reach him to have some sort of workout, not his agent, his mom. And it was just like, what's he doing? Does he understand the way this works? That's basically been the question asked of Lamar Jackson. Don't you know how this works? You're not a quarterback straight up in the pocket.
Right.
Don't you understand how this works? You don't, set the agenda as who you're meeting and when through your family. And then we're sitting there draft night in Dallas. And it's Baker 1. It's Darnold 3rd overall. Then goes Josh Allen. Then goes Josh Rosen, who says that there's 9 other teams he's going to be having on his list. Okay. Like he's Arya Stark going into the NFL. And then we wait. And then we're sitting there getting ready to be done for the night. Ravens trade up. Ozzie Newsome's final first round draft choice, his way of leaving a nice gift basket on the doorstep of the organization he helped.
That was very nice of him.
For all those years. He leaves Lamar Jackson with 1 year of contractual control, 32nd overall. And then middle of the season, he winds up taking over for Flacco, gets the team to the playoffs, loses only one regular season game before losing in the playoffs. And then his first game as a starter in the NFL as the starter for the entire season, goes into the season as the starter. He lights up Miami last year. Remember that, Chris? And you're like, well, who else is, I need to see it against other people. You weren't the only one.
I think I called them the JV team.
Okay.
Or an FCS squad.
Well, and it's ironic that 16 weeks later, that FCS squad prevented your Patriots from being the one seed. Wow. And we all know the rest is history after that.
That's magic.
But the reason why I bring this up, and this is why a lot of people are question Lamar Jackson still, is because this is a league where we're seeing Josh Allen throw for 400 yards and run one in for a touchdown, and we're seeing almost 300 yards out of Kyler Murray and have a 100-yard rushing game, as we saw this week. That game against Miami is still to date Lamar Jackson's only 300-yard passing game as a starter in the NFL.
He had a perfect passer rating that
day. He did.
Too.
He was amazing. But it's still not, okay, I'm going to light you up. And then when you think I'm going to light, I'm going to hit you with my legs and it's the dagger. He doesn't want to run. You heard that too. That's been his phrase the entire time of his entire career. I mean, I guess this is Lamar in a nutshell. I am a believer, but as long as teams are basically going to say, you're going to have to beat me with your arm, and he's going to have to start finding these receivers to the tune of 300, 350 yards. Does he have to? Maybe he does have to in order to come back from in a win. That's the narrative. It's going to be that narrative. Even if they boat race the rest of the competition, it'll be that narrative week 1 of the playoffs. What happens now?
He's got a thing for week 1s of the season. You know, you mentioned Miami, 2019 week one, 324 yards, five touchdowns. Week one this year, 275 yards, three touchdowns. That's his season high this year
as well. Against Cleveland, yeah. Right? Which, by the way, comes back from its bye week at 5-3. Words I don't think I've said about Cleveland ever. Because the last time that they could have been 5-3 in week eight, I don't know if there were bye weeks back in the early 90s, were there? Could have been. So,
Baker's back.
It's fascinating. His career is fascinating, and it's only 2.5 years old. He's on the cover of Madden. My kids love him. Kids dig Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
insanely likable. Great kid.
Kids dig his game.
But for football purposes, he needs to win a playoff game.
I mean, the same thing about Peyton Manning for a long time. When Peyton Manning came in this league, it's like, okay, got to win a playoff game. And we were even putting on top of that, or that was on top of the, didn't do it in the SEC either. Couldn't beat Florida. I'm serious. That's the way it was. Yeah, that's how Peyton, it's crazy, but that's how Peyton Manning's career was born. Couldn't beat Florida, didn't win the Heisman, throw 27 interceptions as a rookie, and then it took a while for him to win his first playoff game. I mean, yeah, and how fugazi did he turn out to be?
It worked out for Peyton.
You know what I mean? So
we say that like Lamar's 0-8 in the playoffs or something.
He's 0-2, though.
He's 0-2.
And again, the first time, it's understandable. Year. Anybody's first time in the playoffs, I do this every year. I'll do it again this year. When we find out who's going to be in the playoffs for the first time, could it be Tua? Could it be Kyler Murray? Right? Mm-hmm. Just two guys off the top of my head right now. I think it would be a first career playoff start for Derek Carr. As you remember, the year that they did make the playoffs, he broke his ankle. Uh-huh. I think it was the rookie from Michigan State, whose name escapes me right now, who started that playoff game for Jack Del Rio as the 5 seed.
Was it McGloin or was it Matt McGloin?
No, it was not Matt McGloin. You can look up who their starter was that day. He got his first career start, I do believe, in the playoffs, a kid from Michigan State.
Yeah, Carr's never played in a playoff.
Yeah, so Derek Carr, it would be his first career playoff start. You can go down the list here just off the top of my head. Obviously, Josh Allen got his first career playoff start last year, and it looked like he was going to win it. Couldn't. It's tough to do.
Connor Cook.
Thank you, sir.
Good one.
And I just, you know, you could just say, sure, he beat the Chargers earlier, but when you place it, I mean, when you have your first career start in the playoffs, it's tough enough. And excuse me all you want to make any excuses. Then doing it against a team that's already seen you too. I mean, that's so rare as well. You play half a season and you play half a season so expertly, you get your team to the playoffs and this team faces a team that you've already seen before and it's not even in your division. I mean, what are the odds of that? Minuscule. Unfortunately, that's the way the dice hit the come out roll for Lamar in his playoff career. Last year is that's the one, man. And maybe when we look back, we'll just say he ran into a really hot team because the Titans won and ended Tom Brady's Patriot career. And then they went into Baltimore and just punked everybody. You could say the only team that they couldn't beat was Kansas City.
Weren't they winning that game?
Well, Kansas City fell behind every playoff game they had last year.
Yeah.
We'll take a break, continue this conversation. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll keep an eye on the news wires. Chris Brockman's news update coming up with Kyle Brandt, Scott Van Pelt, and Nate Boyer will join us here on this Veterans Day, still to come.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. That's an interesting chat right there about Lamar. You know? Mm-hmm. And Lamar versus Cam is just outstanding. And the reason why I bring that up is Cam was a revelation coming out of college. Somebody his size who could run it at you. and I saw his last college game. I was at that Auburn-Oregon game. I was at that game in Phoenix. And just seeing Cam in person, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, you know, I guess at the time we had seen Culpepper, somebody who was big, who could throw and run. Like Dante Culpepper was the precursor, if you will, preamble.
Not like Cam, though.
No, I know that. So Cam then comes in and wins Rookie of the Year, and he came in with a lot more noise because he told Peter King at the Combine that he wanted to be an entertainer and an icon. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, by his tenure and end of his tenure in Carolina, he was both. He was iconic in that town. Yep. And boy, was he entertaining. And getting a lot of attention for it in 2015, winning the MVP award. And now here he is and his second team. And if New England can pull this off, I don't know how they do it. You don't think there's any chance on this green earth, right?
I don't.
But
I don't.
The Jets still did what
they had to
do. I
didn't think they were going to beat the Jets. And I was right for 59 minutes.
I told you not to worry about it, didn't I? Even though I was nervous about it, too. It's just, again, we said earlier about how crazy it is, how things change in the NFL. I mean, Cam was the first three games this year looking like the MVP Cam, and we were wondering if New England should go ahead and re-sign him on the spot.
Throw it out
And then
there.
Things changed. This is the game last year. I remember I was in London. I just called the Jaguars and the Texans, and I was getting ready to come home, and I woke up before I headed off to Heathrow. I looked at the final score, and because, again, that game kicked off at 1:30 local time in London. I looked at that final score. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is it. I was right about Lamar being the MVP candidate of the year to keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
And did not know that was going to be the beginning of the end for the Patriots. That was it.
If the Cam that shows up last week against the Jets shows up this week, the Patriots will be in this game, I think.
Yeah.
He was very accurate. He looked like he had some explosion on his throws. He wasn't standing around and wondering what to do with the football and then taking a sack or then running with it. He looked like he was decisive. He was making great throws. Jacoby Myers had a great game. Bird is stepping up. They can just get something out of the run attack.
Well, Damian Harris, we got to keep an eye. Is he significantly hurt? Did he get significantly hurt when he came
out
of the
game? Shoulder. I'll keep an eye on that. But
so,
you know, look, they played tough against Kansas City with Brian Hoyer. So, I mean, I would hope that the Pats would show up. This is a big game, Sunday Night Football, but I do not expect them to win. Of course.
Yeah, I don't. No, who else would be a first-time starter in the playoffs this year, right? Because not even if you know, Tua would be, obviously, if he makes it. Baker Mayfield would be if he makes it. You know? How about this? If the Browns, Cardinals, and Eagles all make the playoffs, which is feasible right now, right?
Yeah.
If the Eagles make the playoffs, which we assume they are. Out of all of them, you could say the Eagles are the best chance to make the playoffs, right? Out of all three of those teams.
Easy, baby.
Yeah, division. They have a two-game lead in their division.
Right.
Right.
If the Eagles, Browns, and Cardinals all make the playoffs, that means all three of Oklahoma's last quarterbacks are in the NFL playoffs.
Pretty good. But yet that guy doesn't want to be a head coach in the NFL.
Boy, he would. I know Dallas would just wave that wand and make Mike McCarthy disappear if Lincoln Riley twitches in that direction.
Abracadabra, B. But Lincoln Riley seems like he's got it good, though.
Oh, man. I don't know why any college coach would want to take an NFL job. You know? I mean, what college coach would want to take an NFL job that's in a spot like Oklahoma, Alabama?
I mean, it seems like Jim Harbaugh doesn't want to go back to the NFL at this point. But
I knew I was walking my way.
I just had to laugh right off.
No, I know. I hear that. You know, I'm sure Bears fans would take Jim in a second right now.
Well, I also think for Jim, he'd be taking a pay cut to go to the NFL. So
I don't know about that.
I mean, he's making between $8 and $9 million in Michigan. No one's giving him the Gruden contract.
And again, I mean, as you know, he's been there for 6 years now.
Yeah.
That's why, again, my blank check would be written to David Shaw today. My blank check would be written to
him.
Yeah,
I'd really
like
to see what he
today.
Could do. Yeah.
So, 844-204-RICH, as I mentioned, is the number to dial. Kyle Brandt is going to be joining us next hour. And same with Nate Boyer here on Veterans Day. There is apparently rumblings afoot in the city of Houston on that Rockets roster about what's happening there. We'll keep an eye on that and discuss that coming up in the next hour. In the next hour here on the show, as I mentioned, Nate's going to be joining us here on this Veterans Day, where we're keeping our hearts open to all those who have served in our honor and defending our democracy. Nate's got an interesting take on things that I just definitely want to give voice to. And then we'll turn our mind to the Masters. You said you watched a ton of Golf Channel yesterday,
right?
Oh, my
goodness. They're live there. It was pouring down rain while they were doing the reports.
What's the weather supposed to be?
Scattered thunderstorms tomorrow and Friday. So it's going to be warm, though. It's in the mid-60s.
But again, it's just November in Georgia.
Yeah, you don't know.
For the Masters, right? I mean, we've never seen a weather pattern like this. We've never seen the course looking like this.
Yeah, it's warm today. It's 82 right now. But it's supposed to rain today, tomorrow, maybe Sunday.
I guess that's one of the things I want to ask Van Pelt is, why did they choose mid-November back in April? Why did they just say, I guess they wanted to push it as far as possible down the road? That why didn't they choose September, October? I don't know. Were the dates already taken by other major tournaments? I don't know how they plucked mid-November out of thin air, just to, I guess, push it as far down the road in case that we had no idea what the pandemic would look like. I forgot why they chose that date back in April.
I can look that up.
Scott's there. You know who's also there is the College Game Day crew as well. They're going to be doing College Game Day from Augusta. And again, does that mean that people are going to be trolling on Fuzzy Zeller with signs behind Reese Davis? I have no idea. So, again, the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock, as well as our radio stations across the country, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Our poll questions are terrific. They're on at Rich Eisen Show. Our Twitter account is the home of our poll questions. And our phone number, again, 844-204-RICH. Hour number one in the books. Coming up, hour two.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.